absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, 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 once again. It's August 4th, 2013, and you know where you're at. You know who you're listening to. First of all, this is a master, and this is the master plan. Thank you for joining me once again on this Sunday. We're going to be talking about a little short snippet of baseball, and the rest we're going to be talking about fantasy football, specifically wide receivers. What you're hearing in the background is a Mr. Marvin Gaye. Apropos for fantasy football and the up-and-coming drafts that you're going to be into, this is called I Want You by Marvin Gaye. We're talking about wide receivers that you may want. We'll be running down a list of 25 of my top 25 wide receivers, some rookie wide receivers you maybe want to look at, and also some others that may be surprising this year. Be right back. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's get into a little baseball. Before I do that, we have a chat room open. People have jumped in the chat room over the past few weeks and expressed their opinion. It's for you. I'm glad you're taking advantage of it. It's all for you. You got a question, a comment, or you want to make a statement, and you don't want to talk to me, which is fine. Chat room is sitting there. You can put your words in print. I'll look at them. I'll even mention them on the air, and we can go from there. But if you would like to talk to me, if you'd like to converse with me this fine Sunday morning, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. As I always repeat it a second time, for those who missed it the first time, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I know that sounds corny, but it's one of the things I say. What can I say? Anyway, I wanted to talk about, before we get into fantasy football, I want to cover a few things real quick that are current news, and I think they should be mentioned, okay? The first thing I'm going to talk about is baseball. Now, you know I've been on this rant. I went on it a little bit yesterday. I went on it on Thursday. I really went on it the last weekend about baseball and what baseball heavy-handedly is doing to specific players, especially. And I'm not a Yankee fan, and I'm not a fan of Alex Rodriguez, but fair is fair, okay? That's what I'm talking about, being fair here. You're singling a person out, and it's not like he stole something. It's not like he murdered someone. But everybody is jumping on the bandwagon for the most part. Especially the media has a feeding frenzy on lambasting this guy, crucifying this guy. I'm talking about Alex Rodriguez. Okay, Ryan Braun, I can understand because he has tested positive, and he was a sleazeball and after his test, and I can understand people going after him. Alex Rodriguez, even though he admitted using steroids in the past, has never, ever tested positive. Unlike these other players that tested positive, Alex Rodriguez has never tested positive for a PEDs. And Major League Baseball wants to suspend a player who's never tested positive, regardless of what he's done, what they allege he's done, never tested positive for PEDs in baseball, and they want to suspend this guy all the rest of this year, I understand that, and all of next year, which equates to 214 games or something like that. Are you kidding me? How can you possibly justify that? How can you possibly say that he warrants that amount of suspension? You say he recruited. You say he actually bought the drugs, but he's never tested positive. You've tested him, and I know since it's Alex Rodriguez, you've probably tested him several times, but he's never tested positive. The only thing you have on him is said that, yes, I have used PEDs in the past. He said that himself, okay, in the past when he was with the Texas Rangers. But now you say he's still doing it, but he's never tested positive. So if you don't have a positive test on him, how can you possibly justify that as being a jump from first offense, which is supposed to be 50 games, all the way to 214 games? You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't justify it. But because Major League Baseball is who they are, and because he's carrying a huge contract that a certain team in New York doesn't want to pay anymore, it's just a coincidence. Now, this is a coincidence I have. Alex Rodriguez said he was fit to play last weekend. Fit to play last weekend. Over a week ago, he said he was ready to play. But the New York Yankees said, oh, no, you're not. You have to do at least a week of rehab, 5 to 7 days, back and forth, back and forth. This is last week, back and forth they go, okay? Now, for those that don't know, the New York Yankees start collecting a insurance policy on Alex Rodriguez's salary come August 1st. So last weekend, quite naturally, that's not August 1st. August 1st was just Thursday. So they say, no. You got to do more rehab. Okay? And for the simple fact is, and it's just a coincidence now, that after the week is over, after they push out a week, which in my and this is conspiracy, and I'm just speculating, I'm putting all this information out there. It just so happens that Major League Baseball is coming down this Monday, which is the first day Alex Rodriguez is supposed to come back to the team. They're coming out with their suspensions. That's a heck of a coincidence that the Yankees conveniently pushed Alex off to a rehab for a week. And Major League Baseball, the first day Alex Rodriguez is supposed to come back, is to lay the suspensions out for Alex Rodriguez and the rest of the players that are involved in this biogenesis thing. Heck of a coincidence. The Yankees say they have nothing to do with it. It's all with the Major League Baseball, and it's a drug thing with the Major League Baseball. But it's a heck of a coincidence that that one hand helped the other and timed it exactly all in one day. Heck of a coincidence, okay? So I understand the Yankees getting pissed off and Major League Baseball getting pissed off when Alex Rodriguez brings it out. Hey, there's two entities that have a stake in me not playing, getting on the playing field, and it's not the Yankee fans and it's not my teammates. So what does that leave you people? That leaves Major League Baseball and the organization of the New York Yankees. And it just so happens, like I said, the first day that the Yankees, after this rehab, supposedly for a bad quad, which Alex Rodriguez went along with and said, yeah, okay, I'll do my stint, but I'm coming back on Monday. The suspensions are coming down on Monday. That's foul, man. That is really foul. And the fact is, he's going to get three times the amount. Over three times the amount of these other players, for the most part. Some of them, regardless, whatever it is, some of them are going to get the rest of the season. Some of them may get a little longer, but they're not going to get anywhere close to what Alex Rodriguez gets, because they said, they're pretty much saying he was the ringleader. They're pretty much saying that he really suggested or steered some other players toward this towards Biogenesis. He destroyed documents. He witnessed tampering. He refused to cooperate, and the whole nine yards. Okay, so he's making. I mean, and the fact is, the New York Yankees, like I said, are stand to pay him $100 million. Once he steps back on the field, they have to pay him his salary. They don't want to pay a 38-year-old with two surgically repaired hips and declining ability the rest of the money. So it's very convenient that Major League Baseball, the entity of Major League Baseball, and the New York Yankees, all these things are just a coincidence. Come on. Come on. Come on, okay? That's disgusting to me. Disgusting, okay? But we'll see what happens. I'm not defending the person. I'm defending the process. I'm defending the process. I'm not defending whatever he's done. I'm not defending that. I'm defending the process and the things that are being and the power that's being wielded and the unprecedented thought that Bud Selig is going to invoke his commissioner power to make sure Alex Rodriguez doesn't step on the field again. Now, if I'm not understanding this right, that when he does that, there's a chance that he opens up a can of worms, meaning the collective bargaining agreement, because this is unprecedented. Commissioner's never done this before. So, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. It's going to be very, very interesting in the next few days and probably a few months, because I can see this is going to be one little nasty fight to possibly get this resolved one way or the other. And Alex Rodriguez wants to get back on the field. He wants to get paid just like anybody else. And there's certain organizations that are doing everything they can to make sure he does not do that. So, but I guarantee you, he steps on the field, he starts doing well, the fans across the United States are going to, in droves, come to the stadiums to watch him play, but they're going to come to the stadium one way or the other. New York Yankee fans, if he comes in and plays well, are going to cheer him as a returning hero. Guaranteed. Winning solves all issues for the most part. So that's what Major League Baseball and the Yankees are afraid of. All right? Him coming back, and if he does well, he's going to be accepted by the fans and the public. Okay? So quite naturally, not everyone's going to agree with that. Not everyone's going to agree with what I have to say. But that's the cold, hard facts. That if he comes in and plays well, New York Yankee fans are going to love him. And fans of all teams that play the Yankees in their home cities are going to, in droves, come to the stadium to either cheer or probably mostly boo Alex Rodriguez. And I have to hand it to the man. I'm not a fan of the man, but I have to hand it to the man. For all the pressure and all the stuff, that's another four-letter word, a five-letter word, that he puts up with. When he gets out on the field, for the most part, even though his skill level is dwindling, he's able to perform. So stay tuned, people. Stay tuned, because this is going to get very interesting come Monday when all the proverbial hits the fan. All right. And one other thing I want to talk about, and it has to do with the 2013 Hall of Fame inductees. I mean, Curly Cope, Chris Carter, Warren Sapp, Bill Parcells, Larry Allen, and Jonathan Ogden. Hopefully I didn't mean to leave anybody out. Let me tell you what I said. I'm sorry, Dave Robinson. So it's Larry Allen, Chris Carter, Dave Robinson, Jonathan Ogden, Bill Parcells, Curly Cope, and Warren Sapp, which is the newest inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That took place last Saturday night. I want to just congratulate them. They all had fine speeches. Chris Carter happens to be one of my favorite players, and I'm real happy that he finally got into the Hall of Fame because he was just deserved quite a few years ago. It finally caught up that they put him into the Hall of Fame, so I'm happy. Happy, very happy that he's in there. All right. Enough said. Let's do this now. All right. let me do this first. Before I do that, let me say that I'm going to play this promo real quick, and then I'll come right back.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sylvia.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. That's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday night. Hell of a show. Hell of a show. She's got some hell of a guests that are lined up from week to week. Sylvia Crawley Milbury is very engaging host, and tune in, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's a different program than any of our programs that we have on the FSP network, but that's not to say that it's not a good program. It's a very good program. Trust me. You got to listen to it. You will enjoy it. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And even call in if you like. It's she's a very engaging person. Anyway, let's roll on to what the main crux of this show is all about, and that is fantasy football, and specifically, we're talking about wide receivers. And I'm going to do this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a top 25. And then, after the top 25, I'm going to give you guys that I have just below the top 25 that are going to be difference makers. Quite naturally, this is my top 25. This is August 4th, and this can change. So this can change. Excuse me, but this is how I see it right now. And I'm also going to give you some rookie wide receivers. I know rookie wide receivers, for the most part, don't do well or very inconsistent, but I think these wide receivers in the rookie class of this year, there's going to be some surprising names that I'm going to give you. And I think they're in some pretty good situations to be able to perform. So I got a lot of information to put out here in about 40 minutes to do it on the normal time, but I may go overextended because I want to give all this information out to you this week, because next week on Sunday will be tight ends. So let's get it going here. Number 25, always long on talent but short on opportunity. He was slated for another boom or bust season as the Packers' top backup outside wide receiver. That was until Greg Jennings went down with a groin injury and James Jones of the Green Bay Packers went off. Finally playing in two wide sets, Jones scored six touchdowns in a three-game stretch between week 4 and 7. Believe it or not, people, for those in fantasy football know this, but for others that don't or just getting into fantasy football, he scored 14 touchdowns, which led the league in receiving touchdowns. He also, one of the labels he had is that he had bad hands and that he dropped a lot. Well, he had 103 targets, and he only dropped 4 passes. All right, so you know he's been working on his craft. You know that he's only going to get better with more reps, more opportunities, more targets, equal opportunities, equal production. Okay? So the depth chart is set with James Jones, Jordy Nelson outside, and Randall Cobb in the slot. Now, it's a possibility that all three of these wide receivers may get 1,000 yards. But James Jones is going to get his share of things. Now, I don't think he's going to get 14 touchdowns on 64 catches like he did last season. But he's going to be one of Aaron Rodgers' top red zone options. So you can probably get him. Now, he's my 25th ranked wide receiver, but you could probably get James Jones excuse me, in the 7th round of a 12-team league. I really believe that you probably can get him at that spot. Excuse me. Let's move on. To my number 24 wide receiver, who's going to have some issues with a quarterback or quarterbacks, depending on, and I would say depending on, I think he's going to do well if either a quarterback is a starter. I'm talking about Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Cecil Shorts, who ran circles around Mike Thomas in camp and was pushed into the starting lineup after Laurent Robinson had concussion issues. Now, he's a very good route runner, And after the catch, he's very explosive. Okay? He ranks second in the league in yards per reception. In 7 games he played without Laurent Robinson, he averaged a little more than 5 catches and 82 yards with 3 touchdowns. And that is with Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne at quarterback. Now they have a new coach who's installing a new offense. But they haven't changed the quarterback. Laurent Robinson was released. Justin Blackmon is suspended for the first 4 games. And guess who's the number one wide receiver right now? Solid, entrenched in as the number one wide receiver. If he played anywhere else but in Jacksonville, he would have a bigger name. I guarantee you, Cecil Shorts, as long as he stays healthy, is going to be a solid pick for you. Probably in the same vein, I would think Cecil Shorts and James Jones, when you get valued down in the 7th round in a 12-team league, that's where both these guys, I see them getting picked up. Somewhere in that 7th round, late 7th round, mid to late 7th round, early 8th round. And it's value there. Next guy up on the block out in the west, okay? This guy is also a very good route runner, playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Eric Decker, I'm talking about. He was a consistent Peyton Manning target in both the red zone and underneath, while ending up second in the league in receiving touchdowns. Okay? He had 4 multi-score games, and his over 70% catch rate ranked him 9th in the league. Now, you know that the Broncos signed Wes Welker. But the Broncos used the 3-wide set 64% of the time. Of 64% of their last year's offensive snaps. And that now they're going to up that more. It's going to be upwards near 80%. And this kid is playing the final year of his rookie contract. Okay? Now, he scored 13 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen. But he is a very solid wide receiver 2/3. Very solid. And that's why I have him ranked at number 23. Let's move on to the number 21. Now, he's dealing with a groin issue. He may not play today because he's dealing with a groin issue. But Mike Wallace moved from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Miami Dolphins. And the reason he did that was a 5-year, $60 million contract with $30 million guaranteed. Now, you know that he's a clear-cut number one option in this offense for Miami. They also added pieces like Dustin Keller in the tight end and Brandon Gibson as another wide receiver, along with Brian Hartline, who re-signed with the Miami Dolphins. So, Joe Philbin and Mike Sherman, who run a West Coast offense, I think Mike Wallace is he could be boom or bust in his position. Okay, in the for Miami. He's not too good at route running. He's more of a nine, meaning at the line of scrimmage, just take off and use your speed. Number 22, I have him. But I think he could be a possible bust. All right? Let's move on to number 21. Now, this kid was supposed to bust out as a sophomore. And because for the most part, he was running just deep patterns. And you would thought that he would be expanding his route tree. He did show more polish on pass patterns, but it didn't translate always into the box score. His receptions actually declined from his rookie year. And now he's hurt. Dennis Pitta's role increased. I'm talking about Torrey Smith, and 271 of his 855 yards came in his lone pair of 100-yard games. So, once again, now this may change because he's the number one receiver now, because Anquan Boldin is no longer there. He was mainly used as a, like I said, a straight line vertical threat, and was second in the league with 44 targets of 20 or plus yards. He had just two catches for 35 yards in the Super Bowl. Now, the Ravens was cap-strapped, but they signed their quarterback for $120 million, which caused them to let Anquan Boldin go. Now, he needs to step up to be a complete receiver, along with the signing of Asante Shanko, and they need to have Mr. Dixon, Ed Dixon of the other tight end, to step up. But I see him being a productive wide receiver two or three, okay? And with Joe Flacco throwing the ball and his ability to get open, that's why I have him at number 21. Let's move on to the number 20 wide receiver. Who is another guy here that spends more time off the sidelines hurt than he does playing, or can't seem to stay on the field, I should say. He fractured his right foot during May OTAs and missed the majority of training camp last year. And then in week two, he aggravated the injury and also hurt his knee during a collision with Aqib Talib. From there, he posted 0 100 yards over his last 11 games. He averaged a career low 13 yards per reception. He had a career low in yards 69 and career low in touchdowns of only 3. He's missed 9 games in his 4-year career and had been limited in a lot of others. So even though he may have been on the field because of his injury history and his continued ability or whatever, continue unluckiness to get hurt, he hasn't been as effective a lot. Now, he's entering his final year of his contract. and he needs to step up to show that he can stay on the field for one. And once he stays on the field, he needs to be able to produce or number three wide receiver Reuben Randall will step in. So that's why I have Hakeem Nicks. He's in my top 25 when he's healthy. But that's the issue with him. And he has a very good quarterback of Eli Manning thrown to him. So that's why he's within my top 25. And he's number 20. Let's go to number 19. Number 19. This kid, I think, is due to break out this year. I hyped this guy last year. If I'm not mistaken, I may have hyped him the year before. He was on the same team as Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace last past season was begging for a new contract, but the Steelers, in fact, gave it to this guy, Antonio Brown, who signed for a five-year contract, $42.5 million in July. And I'm sorry. Last year he signed for a five-year, $42 million contract. And quite naturally, he got hurt a little bit last year. He posted zero touchdowns, 100-yard games in 13 chances, and regressed off his 2011 numbers. Now, Mike Wallace is gone. Guess who the unquestioned number one wide receiver? Absolutely, Antonio Brown. He averaged 8.1 targets per game last year. I think he's going to push that closer to 10, maybe more than 10 as Roethlisberger's go-to guy. I think in this Todd Haley's offense, he can get about at least 90 catches in this pass offense of Todd Haley. And as the go-to guy for Ben Roethlisberger, I've liked Antonio Brown for a few seasons, and I think he's going to have a very extremely good season here. And I have him listed in number 19, and where you can get Antonio Brown in a 12-team league, you can get him in the between the 5th and 6th round. Which is not bad value. I mean, it's decent value. I expect a nice production from him from week to week. I have another wide receiver here as we move to number 18. He was sidelined last year. With a torn tendon in his foot and toe. But he was, I wouldn't say the go-to guy, but him and Robert Griffin had a very good rapport. I'm talking about Pierre Garçon. Now he didn't get his surgery, but I think he's going to be fine with the rehab that he conducted over the season. We'll have to wait and see if the issues that he had with his toe and he didn't opt for surgery is going to affect his play in the up-and-coming seasons. But if he's on the field, and this is an if, and he's effective, in that X spot in this offense, he can have a monster season. So I have him listed here as the number 18 wide receiver on my hit list here. Let's move up here to this guy. And these two guys, I just named Pierre Garçon. I went there, before that, I went to Antonio Brown. And this next guy is playing for a depleted receiving core. No more Brandon Lloyd. No more Aaron Hernandez. No more Wes Welker. No more. And Wes Welker got substituted for a younger clone, and Danny Amendola. And Danny Amendola is the type of player that is, over the last few years, he hasn't been able to keep healthy. Has not been able to keep healthy. But when he's healthy, over the first 4 weeks, he racked up 31 catches on 44 targets. When he was Sam Bradford's go-to guy. And for the second consecutive year, he got hurt. A lot of people call Danny Amendola a mini Wes Welker. The Patriots are taking a chance. They signed Danny Amendola to a 5-year contract, $28.5 million. And he's going to be, for the most part, Tom Brady's go-to guy. Wes Welker had 112 catches for 1,200 yards and six touchdowns per year over six seasons. Amendola will play the exact same role, okay? The problem with him, and I keep on saying it, is his durability. But he has a lot of upside if he can keep target, because Tom Brady is going to feed him in the slot. If he's available for games, his production is going to be a wide receiver one, wide receiver two. But injury bug is what the problem is. The injury bug with Danny Amendola is what the problem is. You can have him somewhere in the fifth or sixth round, in between there. Fifth, sixth round, Danny Amendola is available and could be a steal. If his wide receiver one numbers, could be a steal. Okay? Let's go to another one that's in the last few guys here, not all of them, but every other one has had some type of injury issues. Now, the entire Saints organization had problems with Bountygate last year. 0-4 when they started the season last year. Even though Marcus Colston, who I'm talking about, and Drew Brees did their thing. He got 1,000 yards for the fourth consecutive year, 80-plus catches for the third straight. And the thing about Marcus Colston, he's not a speed burner. He's not a huge speed burner. He just does it with his route running, and he's so dominant physically that he uses those attributes to take advantage of DBs at the time. So now, Sean Payton is back. A new attitude is back with the Saints. But this guy is the mark of consistency. And most people discount this guy. Why? I don't know. But most people, most people discount this guy, and he's like an afterthought. Why? I don't know, but Marcus Colson is the very consistent, and I've picked him up in quite a few leagues, and he can be had in between the fourth and fifth round, probably early fifth round is where you're going to get him at, and be a very consistent wide receiver too pick. So he's my number 16th pick in wide receivers. Let's move on to we've got about 14 minutes left in the show. What we don't cover in regular time, we will cover in overtime, because I want to get all this information out to you and wide receivers, because I want to get some other choices that you may have outside of my top 25, okay? This guy has been a mark of consistency, regardless if it's been Peyton Manning or last year Andrew Luck. Everybody thought he was declining. Well, look at the quarterbacks he had. Look at what happened to Larry Fitzgerald last year. And look what happened to Reggie Wayne the year before that, when the inconsistent play of the quarterbacks took away their numbers, okay? I think Mr. Wayne, at 33 years old, is on an absolute rejuvenated. First eight games, he had 61 catches for 835 yards and 3 touchdowns. And it looked like, I wouldn't say it was, but it looked like that he had a very good rapport with Andrew Luck, as he had with Peyton Manning. Even though he tailed off as T.Y. Hilton emerged, he still finished 15th among fantasy wideouts. Now, Bruce Arians, because of Chuck Pagano's health issues, was the acting head coach, interim head coach, whatever you want to call him. And he had a more aggressive and fantasy-friendly offensive scheme with him. And with Arians, was bombs away and because the way he wanted to play. But now it's different. The Stanford offensive coordinator now, Pep Hamilton, is you're going to use his version of the West Coast offense. They had Donnie Avery last year. Now they have Darryl Heywood Bey that may be in the mix as a wide receiver. And even though that he had a good year, like a big year like that, I still think that his numbers may come down. He's a year older. And he did come off a poor second half. I see Mr. Wayne being a wide receiver too. And not too much upside, but because I do believe that there may be a regression in the play of the Indianapolis Colts. But I think Reggie Wayne still is, in my opinion, ranked number 15 out of the wide receivers, and that's why I have him there. Let's move over to the second wide receiver of the Green Bay Packers that I have within the top 25. This guy, Jordy Nelson, first seven games, was on pace to catch 91 balls, 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. Just before week eight, he pulled a hamstring. Week eight, he sprained an ankle. Week nine, and missed four of the Packers' final nine games. Quite naturally, because of hamstring and ankle problems, he was very limited, okay? So he had 49 catches for 745 yards and 7 touchdowns. A lot different from the year before. Now Greg Jennings is no longer there. Donald Driver is no longer there. So that's Jordy Nelson and James Jones as the absolute clear-cut outside wide receivers, with Randall Cobb in the slot. Well, he only had ankle and hamstring. So I see that him coming back, I should say this. I think he's going to have a major bounce back year. Healthy, Jordy Nelson is a problem for DBs. Healthy, okay? I see Jordy Nelson being picked up in the fourth round. And I see him having some nice numbers, serious numbers, okay? You can catch him on the 14th as the number 14 wide receiver. I think people are probably jumping on the Randall Cobb bandwagon, which is deservedly so. I understand that. But don't discount Jordy Nelson in this offense. Don't discount. I can understand people saying, well, the Packers, they got two stud rookie running backs. They're probably going to run the ball more, which means that they're going to take away the opportunities for the wide receivers. Well, Jordy Nelson has been a staple of consistency and a go-to guy when all else fails for Aaron Rodgers over the last two seasons. I don't see that changing. I do not see that. They have a very good rapport with each other, and I think it's going to continue. Jordy Nelson, number 14 on my wide receiver hit list. Let's move up to number 13, lucky number 13. I think this team is going to surprise a few people, and all depends on the quarterback. All depends on the quarterback because this team has talent. This team has talent. They were disappointing last year. That's why they had the number one pick. They have a very talented wide receiver in Dwayne Bowe, who's going into his seventh season. Okay. Now, last year he had to deal with Matt Castle and Brady Quinn. And you know that Matt Castle and Brady Quinn are not the best of quarterbacks, not the most accurate quarterbacks. He just averaged 4.5 catches and 61 yards with three touchdowns. And that was up until week 14 because after that he had a rib injury and at that end of the season. But what's changed in this thing here? Let me put it this way. They had a head coach hired that runs a pass-happy West Coast offense. You lock this guy, Dwayne Bowe, up, hopefully because he got his contract now that he's still hungry. That agreed to a 5-year, $56 million contract with $26 million guarantee. They also upgraded, and I think they did upgrade because Brady Quinn and Matt Castle were pretty bad. I think they upgraded their quarterback with Alex Smith. And that's going to be the best quarterback Mr. Bowe has ever had in his career. He's a physical receiver, even though he's never topped up to 1,200 yards. He's had – and check this out, and I realize it, but if you look at it, he has Tyler Palko, Tyler Thigpen, Brody Croyle, Damon Heward, Brady Quinn, and Matt Castle as his quarterbacks. I think Mr. Dwayne Bowe, and you can get him in the mid-fifth round, in a 12-team league, is due to have a career year. I think he's going to have a career year. And you can get him in the fifth round. I think he's going to have a career year. So even though you may miss out on the top 10, top 5, don't despair. Mr. Dwayne Bowe will not be a disappointment to you. Let's move on to, and he's lucky 13 on my hit list. Let's move up to number 12. I got 5 minutes left. Guaranteed you I'm going to go over. But I'm getting this information out to you, so hang in with me. Take notes. Hang in with me, and we'll get through this. All right, number 12 hails from the Big Apple. hails from the Big Apple. He's a slot receiver, okay? Not like his other teammate, Akeem Nicks, who's an outside receiver. This is a slot receiver. And you know he became a household name in 2011, and people said it may have been a fluke. Came back in 2012 and proved that it wasn't. Even though his yards per reception dropped from 18 to 12, he increased his catches to 86, and it increased his touchdowns to 10. For those who like Randall Cobb and Wes Welker, well, he's right up with those guys. He played all 16 games, and he did it for less than he did it for $540,000. For $540,000. For $540,000. So you would think he would want a. You think he will warrant something better than that? But he did. He settled for a bigger contract. He got paid. So I think Victor Cruz is a high end wide receiver too. Eli loves throwing to Victor Cruz in the slot. He's got a lot of speed and explosion out of the slot. He's been the top 12 in targets in each of the last two seasons. So, third round, end of third round, probably early fourth round, is where Victor Cruz is likely to get picked up. And I think you'll get solid production. He's an extremely durable player. And very productive when he's on the field. So Eli Manning loves throwing to his slot receivers, a la Steve Smith before him, and now Victor Cruz. Let's move on to the last Packer wide receiver who plays in the slot, who wasn't any secret of how much talent this kid had. Well, when he played last year, he was impossible to cover. He averaged over from week four when Greg Jennings went down to for the next 11 weeks, he averaged 5.6 catches for 72 yards with 8 touchdowns. I got about a minute and a half left in there. Tune in next week when I'll be talking about tight ends at the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Like I said, Sylvia Crawley, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday night. Thursday night will be the Master Plan, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Friday night will be No Chaser with Mac and myself, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And back on Saturday, we'll be talking about a division in the AFC, possibly the AFC South. And we'll be breaking that down. And that's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the FSP show. So all those shows, tune into whatever your flavor is, whatever you have time available. We appreciate you listening. And we'll be going into overtime in the next 30 seconds. And I appreciate you listening. And if you decide to hang up, just catch the rest of the show in the archives. And I appreciate you spending the time that you have if you're going to go. Like I said, he had 5.6 catches for 72 yards with 8 touchdowns. You also used him in the rushing game too. And not as much, but he's a very versatile player. I see him being one of the most dynamic slot receivers east of Seattle. he can also be the go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers. I see close to 100 catches for this kid. And his upside is off the charts here. Depends on how they use this guy, because he's very a versatile player besides being a wide receiver. So I'm absolutely in love with Randall Cobb this year, and I have him ranked number 11. Let's move on to Roddy White, who I have ranked at number 10. I don't know if I need to say any more. He's 31. He's quite naturally competing with Julio Jones for chances. He was supposed to be in decline because Julio Jones is supposed to take a step up, and Roddy White was supposed to take a step back, not to accommodate him, but because of the talent of Julio Jones. But White had 143 targets. And believe it or not, that was the fewest he had since 2008. So he did regress a little bit. But he posted the third most catches in yards of his eight-year career. So even though he took a step back, it's a step back for Roddy White, but not in the overall scheme of wide receivers. Quite naturally, now we have a new coordinator in Dirk Koetter, but this is a still pass first scheme. So they got Tony Gonzalez back. Roddy White's more of a deep threat in his career now, and is settling into more of a possession role. And he was the 10th among fantasy wide receivers. Why Roddy White is a safe pick if you want a safe wide receiver that you know you're going to get a certain amount of numbers from week to week. Because I don't know how much upside Roddy White has because he's competing with Julio Jones on the other side. So, and as you've seen last year, you never know which one of these guys was going to go off, Roddy White or Julio Jones. For the most part, they had decent numbers, but you didn't know if they were going to have that monster week from week to week. And that was depending on the defense. Who were they going to key on to try to slow down? Who the defense perceived as a hot receiver that they needed to slow down, whether it was Roddy White or Julio Jones. So, but he's definitely in the top. He's my top 10. He's the top 10 wide receiver, and he's number 10. Let's move on to the jersey I am wearing today. Yesterday I was wearing a quarterback jersey, number 8 from Matt Schaub. Today I'm wearing a wide receiver jersey. This is football weekend to me. Training camp started, but in my opinion, the football season doesn't really start until the first preseason game, which is going to take place tonight, Miami and Dallas. And now I'm putting on my jerseys, and I got number 80, Andre Johnson, who's my number 9 ranked wide receiver. And at 31, my man had a career year in a run-based offense. And from week 9, okay, from week 9, over the last 8 contests, he had 70 catches for over 1,000 yards and 2 touchdowns. Andre Johnson, 31 years old, finished second only to Megatron in receiving yards and ranked 4th in the league in catches. He did that despite virtually no other receiving threat that the defense had to worry about. Because remember, on the other side was Kevin Walter. Kevin Walter's no Andre Johnson. And they hardly ever threw consistently over to Kevin Walter. And he was targeted 58% of the Texans' pass attempts. 58. Okay, so, and you have to figure that the Owen Daniels gets part of that, and the other tight ends got a few of that, and then Kevin Walter. And then Arian Foster. So 58% of the Texans' pass attempts were targeted to Andre Johnson. I think it's going to go down, and I'll tell you a little later why I think it's going to go down, but I still think Andre Johnson, he's played 10 years in Houston, and he's never played with a legit number two wide receiver, all right? Like I said, they got rid of Kevin Walter, and they picked up DeAndre Hopkins, all right? I still think that, Andre Johnson is the number one wide receiver in PPR formats. And I still think he's a wide receiver in non-PPR, okay? Andre Johnson, you can pick him up end of the third, real early fourth. Don't wait past the middle of the fourth round. He won't be there. Guarantee he won't be there, okay? Andre Johnson, I think, is going to have a big year. I'm not, just because I'm a Texas fan, I'm not saying that. I think he's going to have a good year, very good year, in that Texans offense. Only thing that can hold him back is unfortunately, it may be my quarterback, but we'll see about that. All right, because a lot of these, quite naturally, you need a quarterback to get the ball to him. So some of these guys, big-time wide receivers, maybe have inconsistent quarterbacks. That leads me to my next wide receiver. Big money NFL free agent acquisition often go up in flames, especially wide receiver. Well, you know Vincent Jackson balled last season. 6'5", he's got long speed and can get it. He led the NFL in yards per reception where he turned 72 catches into the fifth most yards in the league. He also ranked 10th in the league in targets. He had the third top 10 fantasy season of his career. Now, you know that putting pressure on Josh Freeman, and Josh Freeman is in a contract year. But Vincent Jackson had 19.2 yards per reception, which is very unsustainable even for someone who catches a bomb for a living. Still, Jackson is going to have some big games that win your fantasy weeks because he gets so many targets because of his ability. He's definitely a wide receiver one, in my opinion, without a doubt. This guy is going to get picked up somewhere in a 12-team league, somewhere in the fourth round, early fourth round. Don't wait past that if you want to get Vincent Jackson, if you target Vincent Jackson as one of your wide receivers and you're thinking about one or the other. If you really want Vincent Jackson, you go and get him before you think someone else is going to grab him. This guy. Another guy that had inconsistent play and was had career lows in last year's career. Okay, he ranked 41st in receiving yards and set a career low in touchdowns. He had just 2 100-yard games and caught 2 or fewer balls in 5 separate weeks. He played all 16 games for the 5th consecutive year. That's 80 games, not missing a game. I'm talking about Larry Fitzgerald. And guess who moves over to whom? Guess who moves over to the Cardinals, takes over the Cardinals? Bruce Arians. Now, you heard of Bruce Arians. He's the one that was pass happy in Indianapolis. So he comes and to join the Cardinals with one of the most vertical aggressive schemes in NFL. And they sign up Carson Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer may not be the quarterback he was in Cincinnati, but can still chuck the ball and is a very accurate deep ball thrower. Larry Fitzgerald is only 30 years old, is just as talented as the other top wide receivers that I'm going to name, and I see a big, big comeback for Larry Fitzgerald with Carson Palmer there. Big upgrade in the quarterbacks from Skelton, Kolb, and Lindley. And I see nothing but a huge upside, nice numbers from Larry Fitzgerald. And he's going to be gone mid-third round, too. Mid to late third round, gone. Gone. After you get two running backs or whatever you think of your first two picks, you want Larry Fitzgerald in the third round is where you're going to get him. No doubt about it. Next guy, let's go out to the West and talked about one guy already. Let's talk about this other guy. He had foot injuries ever since he left Georgia Tech, but when he got a quarterback like Peyton Manning, he became one of the most explosive playmakers with a 15.3 yards per reception, 7 100-yard games, and he finished as the number 5 fantasy wideout last year. And quite naturally, just like in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning had a favorite wide receiver. Demaryius Thomas was Peyton Manning's favorite wide receiver with 141 targets. And Eric Decker, who I named earlier, only had 123. So there's 20 targets difference in who gets looked at the most, okay? Strapping guy, 6'5", 235, a beast. And it, quite naturally, you know that they added Wes Welker to the slot. So he may not get 140 targets, but 120, which is still pretty serious targets. Demaryius Thomas is a physically dominant wide receiver. He plays every down, and to me, he's a clear-cut number one, and he's a second-round pick, early third. Let's move on to the young stud out of Atlanta. He was a problem for a lot of defenses in his second year, the second season. All right? And I think he's still going to be a problem, okay? Got rid of Michael Turner in the backfield. They replaced him with Steven Jackson, which is going to be a problem for the defenses. Who they cover now? How they cover? Do they worry about the running game or do they worry about the passing game? Julio Jones was one of the game's best catchers of deep bombs and single coverage, and will get lots of touchdowns. Excuse me. And I didn't know this statistic, but I'm going to tell you this. Julio Jones scored 20 times in his first 31 games, including the playoffs. So I think Julio Jones will get a good amount of, what's a good amount mean, right? 10 touchdowns, at least 10 touchdowns from Julio Jones, okay? Targets, I say he get about 120 targets, if not more. I conservatively, I say 120 targets, but I think he's going to get 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns for Julio Jones. And he's clearly one of the top wide receivers, top 5, because that's where I have him. I have him number 5. And let's move on to the Final Four. All right? Now, you know this guy in Denver, he had issues, and he's admitted his issues. He's manned up, and you can see this guy growing up in front of your face, and he was reunited last year with his quarterback, his old friend, Jay Cutler. I'm talking about Brandon Marshall, and in his first year in Chicago, he was very dominant. He set career highs in catches, yards, touchdowns, and targets, and finishing second among receivers in fantasy scoring. He played in all 16 games. Now, if you notice here, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, most of these guys play the majority of their games, and that's key. If you want to be a top wide receiver, you got to be available for games. Now, it got rid of Lovie Smith, who was a defensive-minded coach, brings in Mark Trestman, who is a, what some people say, a offensive play-calling wizard, and very quarterback, I wouldn't say quarterback-friendly, but a very he's a good friend to a quarterback, let me put it that way, okay? And he's a good teacher of quarterbacks. With Cutler and Marshall, and also another target that they have in Martellus Bennett, and this is going to be a pass-heavy scheme with Jay Cutler getting the ball out very quickly. I see Marshall getting another 100 catches. I really believe he's going to get 100 catches. Between 12 and 1,400 yards, somewhere around 6 or 7, maybe double-digit touchdowns, but very close to double-digit touchdown. I see Brandon Marshall, okay, maybe ascending to that number two. The possibility that he may pass in these next two guys and give competition to the number one wide receiver in all of football and fantasy. All right, let me move on to the next guy. He's dealing with some knee issues right now, but he had a big year last year, he's only 24. He's one of the most feared red zone wideouts in the league. Last year, from week two, he ripped off a streak of 9 straight games with a touchdown and 93 yards a game. When it's all said and done, he had been the number four fantasy wide receiver and with 11 touchdowns, okay? And 8 of those touchdowns came within the 20-yard line. So, I see Mr. A.J. Green, 97 to 100 catches, 13 to 1,400 yards, and since he's pretty much the go-to guy for Andy Dalton, I see him, especially within the 20-yard line, I see him getting double-digit touchdowns. And he is a 12-team league. He's mid-second round. With these next few guys, if you don't get him in the second round, I don't think you're going to get him. If you do get him in the third round, consider it a gift. If you pick up A.J. Green in the third round. But second round is where, on the average, that he's going to go. Next guy. This guy, in my opinion, is... You sure saw a shades of this guy last year, and oh my God, this guy is going to be a beast and going to be a problem. I think he's finally showing some maturity, and I think he's showing finally some trust from Tony Romo, Because the second half of last season, he was a huge problem. With he had a 7-game touchdown streak and 115 yards per game from week 10 to week 16. And this guy is a tough guy. Is a tough, along the lines of a Michael Irving type of tough that let me tell you something. He's explosive. He's agile. He's got huge, great ball skills. And you know he's a clear number one in the Cowboys passing game. And gets it on both on the field and off the field. And his upside is huge. As long as he stays healthy, because he's pretty crazy on the field. He's pretty reckless on the field. He stays healthy. This guy is going to be a beast if he's not already. Talking about Dez Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys. Same thing for him. If you don't get him in the second round, you will not get him and be fortunate if you get him anywhere past the second round. Okay? He's that good. Number two in my book, Dez Bryant. Number one. Enough said. Come on. Do I need to really tell you anything about this guy? I'm talking about the number one wide receiver in fantasy, the number one wide receiver in all of football, much less fantasy. 964 yards, which was the he went past the original mark of Jerry Rice. He led the league in receptions, in catches of 20-plus yards and targets. He was the number one fantasy wideout for the second year in a row, played 16 games for the fourth time in his last 5 years, totaled 1,600-plus yards in back-to-back years for the first time in NFL history, and did it all despite getting tackled at the one-yard line six times. Now, is that crazy or what? So, what? Only the run game can improve Megatron's numbers. All right, and they went out and got Reggie Bush for one to try to shore up the offensive line for another to try to improve the run game. So he only had 5 touchdowns last year. He had 91 receptions, but he only had 5 touchdowns. Now you know he's going to get more touchdowns than that. Matthew Stafford threw the ball more than anybody else in NFL. You know that's going to happen again. He's going to throw the ball. Calvin Johnson at 6'7", 236, a beast. No one can handle this guy. 2 and 3 guys, no one can handle this guy. He's only age 28. If you're going to pick somebody in the first round, and I wouldn't suggest it, but if you really wanted Calvin Johnson, he's not going to be in the second round. Not going to be in the second round. If you get in the second round, it's a gift. But he's going to give you serious numbers. All right? All right, let's go this way. I'm going to go this way first. Now, if you notice, there's four guys I didn't mention. Two of them are well-known names. The other two aren't, but I think they're going to have good seasons. All right? First of all, let me talk about this guy. He stands about my height. He's 5'9", 185, tough as nails. Tough as nails. I'm talking about Steve Smith. They're going to be running a more traditional offense, and Cam Newton always likes to throw to 89. And I think Steve Smith is a low-end wide receiver too, but he may surprise you depending on the play of Cam Newton. Okay? The next guy I want to talk about now, I talked about him briefly in passing, because he went from the Patriots to the Broncos. Now it's Wes Welker. Now, some of you may say, why doesn't he have Wes Welker in the top 25? Well, I don't think Wes Welker is going to be a top 25 wide receiver. I think he's going to be effective, but I don't think he's going to be a top 25 wide receiver. He's going to be probably be drafted like that. Peyton Manning's definitely going to be throwing to him, but I think Wes Welker is going to be overdrafted because of his name, okay? And I think that people are going to be disappointed because of what Wes Welker has done before with his usually 110, over 100-plus passes a year. I don't think he's going to get that. Patriots have the Broncos have two stud young wide receivers with Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker and Wes Welker in the slot, and they also have a decent running game, Ronnie Tillman and Monte Ball. I think this is a more balanced attack. So because it's Wes Welker, I think a lot of people are going to overdraft him. I don't think he's going to be as productive as he was in the past. And the next guy, this guy, he's going to be suspended for the first two games, okay? But when he was on the field playing in that Cleveland Browns offense, he was the number one wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Now, he had some issues. He had some issues, okay? And those issues have carried over into this season for being and banning for testing positive for codeine back in February. But because of that, a lot of people may not draft this guy. He may fall down on the board, but he's only going to be suspended for two games. He's the number wide receiver with a new coach and a new coordinator who's definitely aggressive down the field in North Turner. Like I said yesterday, I don't like North Turner as a head coach, but he's a damn good offensive coordinator. So with his new young toys of Trent Richardson and Josh Gordon, North Turner is going to surprise a lot of people, but is going to use those toys extensively to move the offense of the Cleveland Browns. And Josh Gordon, past week two, will be the number one wide receiver for Brandon Whedon. So, great value, in my opinion. Great value, because he's getting picked up in the eighth round, somewhere around there. Because he's an afterthought. Because he's not going to be playing in the first 2 weeks. Don't let that happen to you. You get down there in the seventh or eighth round, you see Josh Gordon sitting there. Pick him up. Pick him up. You'll definitely appreciate it when he starts playing, and you realize, oh, I got to put this guy in because he's balling. He's balling. All right, let me, and this is in no specific order when I give these names to you. It's just that these are names I think are going to have some surprising seasons. Another one, over in the Northwest, talking about the Seattle Seahawks. He was a little inconsistent, but came on near the end of the year. I see this guy having a better year and more consistent year because of the issues with Cindy Rice and Percy Harvin. Talking about Golden Tate. There's been some reviews about Golden Tate in training camp, and I think it's going to carry over into this season. Golden Tate is going to be surprise wide receiver play this year for the Seattle Seahawks and for fantasy. So just mark those as veterans that I see that are going to have surprising years, or you may have not thought about them. Golden Tate can be had in the Golden Tate can be had in the, hold on a minute here. Wow, Golden Tate probably be an afterthought for the simple reason no one's going to think about him till late, probably 14th, 15th round. You grab Golden Tate, you may have a gem on your hands. It can't hurt because I wouldn't say a filler in your bench, but you're taking a shot on potential that Golden Tate will show out if you're weak in wide receivers. And you're searching for that one sleeper or that one guy that can give you a nice boost. Golden Tate is a nice thought to put on your bench. Now, these other guys, they're all rookies. All rookies. And I'm just going to go off on these guys, and I'm not going to explain too much, but I'll give you Aaron Dobson from the Pats. Pats have lost a lot of pass-catching options. Aaron Dobson has been running with the ones. And Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady are looking for options to use. Just don't think about what they have in veterans. They picked up two wide receivers, and Aaron Dobson was one of them, rookies. Just think about Aaron Dobson as a rookie wide receiver in that Pats offense. Another one that's a rookie. That's got a new coach, even though he's a run-oriented coach. They may start off with a new quarterback in E.J. Manuel. I've been hearing big things, especially E.J. Manuel is catching reps with the ones because of Kevin Cobb getting a knee injury. I think Robert Woods, take a look at Robert Woods and what do you have to lose? Robert Woods is not going to be picked up. He's probably going to be on the waiver wire. You can't go wrong with somebody that's going to be picked up in the 16th round or maybe not even picked up at all. So Robert Woods could be an option for you. If you're scrambling for wide receivers, depending on what your settings are how many wide receivers and what do you start, whether it's two or three wide receivers and the flex or whatever. Hey, it can't hurt. Another guy I'm talking about. Now, I'm talking about two guys on the Rams. Okay, now everybody's talking about Tavon Austin, okay? And I know Tavon Austin is going to get picked up because he's a popular pick. And he's going to get picked up somewhere in the seventh, eighth round. Which is fine. Seventh, eighth round, somewhere around there. But don't discount his former teammate. Well, his former teammate in West Virginia, who's now still his teammate on the Rams. And I'm talking about Stedman Bailey, who's not going to get picked up anywhere. He's a better route runner, and he's got a ton of speed also. So just because the big talk is about Tavon Austin, there's a lot of things going on, especially in wide receiver-wise, in St. Louis. So even though Tavon Austin is getting all the print, Stedman Bailey is doing his thing also there, and just think about that. And last but not least, and it's not because I'm a Houston Texan fan, but this kid, they're calling him a clone of Roddy White. 6'3", 214 pounds. He runs precise routes and has strong hands. All right? The Texans haven't had a legitimate two wide receiver in a decade. Now they have one. He's ready to play in the NFL, and he's going to see a ton of single coverage. His average draft position is 119. A 119 in a 12-team league is round 9-10, give or take. I'm telling you, people, I'm telling you, it's not because I'm a Houston Texans fan. I'm telling you, a lot of people are sleeping on this guy. A lot of people are sleeping on this guy. And the reason I saved him for last is because the fact is, not because he's a Texans fan, but because this guy, if you looked at it, has the total package. Runs very good routes, has strong hands, and is a sponge to pick up how to be an effective wide receiver with one of the best on the team is Andre Johnson. This rookie can make an impact. Okay? All I can tell you is this. Every chance I get, I'm grabbing this kid. Every chance I get, I'm grabbing this kid. Putting him on my bench, okay, and I'm waiting and seeing to see how he performs, all right? I think this is another Julio Jones in the making. I really believe that. I really believe that he's going to see a lot of single coverage because of Johnson, Andre Johnson, and Owen Daniels. He's going to see a lot of single coverage. I think he can beat single. I know he can beat single coverage, and I think he's going to get the best of even double coverage. I think he, trust me, I think they got this guy for a reason. Andre Johnson is 31, 32 years old. He's not going to be around too much longer. Not to say that they're going to get rid of him. I think this is the replacement for Andre Johnson. Trust me. With that being said, I want to appreciate everyone for listening. I hope you took some notes. I hope you copied things down that I had suggested to you. Replay the show if you haven't. I hope we gave you a lot of good information. Next week it's going to be on tight ends. Next week on Sunday, it's going to be 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be on tight ends. I'm going to give you some surprise tight ends that I think are going to show out. All right? Trust me, you don't have to get a tight end. You don't have to get Jimmy Graham. It's nice. You don't have to get Jimmy Graham or Ron Gronkowski to have an effective tight end, even though a lot of people are saying the tight end ranks are slim. I'm gonna discount that. I'm going to show you some tight ends that are going to have good, very good numbers. Maybe not the Jimmy Graham because it all depends on the offense. Maybe not the type of Jimmy Graham, Ron Gronkowski numbers, but good enough numbers for a tight end to be effective and get you some points, decent points, week to week. With that being said, I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for putting up with me for the last hour and a half or so. And hope you have an enjoyable rest of the Sunday. And I'm going to go out playing what I brought in. Mr. Marvin Gaye and I Want You, okay? Apropos, because the Major League Baseball wants A-Rod in the worst way. And also, in fantasy football, you want certain players. And because I couldn't get Marvin Gaye music out of my head today. That's why I'm playing this. With that being said, peace and love to all of you. Talk to you next week. Later.